I'm Stephen Glickman for KXRW-FM in Vancouver. On today's show, I'll be talking to Corey Hinton, an attorney from Portland, Maine, who recently helped the Passamaquoddy tribe buy back tribal land on Pine Island. Corey isn't just outside legal counsel for the tribe. He's also a Passamaquoddy citizen, and he talked with me about a range of topics, including what getting that land back means to him and the Passamaquoddy tribe. But before I get to that, we'll hear about the re-established pro basketball team, the Vancouver Volcanoes, formerly of the IBL, who are getting set to begin play in the TBL next season. On June 24th, a press conference was held at Camas Meadows to announce that the TBL, the basketball league, was adding a new team in Vancouver, Washington for next season, the Vancouver Volcanoes. The TBL is a professional basketball league now situated below the NBA and the NBA G League, and the Vancouver Volcanoes will be the Clark County team for the TBL. The Volcanoes represent the return of professional basketball to Vancouver and the resurrection of the team's name. I did a number of interviews at the press conference and learned a lot about the TBL, the Volcanoes, and their role in the community. The TBL and the Vancouver Volcanoes want to represent a departure from typical pro sports leagues and teams. As part of their mission, they want to bring pro sports to communities that don't have local pro and college teams, and they want to make serving the people in their communities a primary focus of the league. They want to be role models. They want kids to look up to their players. They want to get involved, and they won't shy away from addressing social justice issues. The Basketball League is the first men's professional league that is owned by a black woman. This is reflected in the way that they do business. They refer to team market owners instead of team owners. They consciously avoid any implication that they own the players. If you're familiar with the history of sports contracts and the advent of free agency, you know that players haven't always been treated well. The Basketball League insists on treating their players well as an intrinsic value and goal of the league. Of the people I talked to, first was the league president.
I'm David Magley. I'm the president of the Basketball League.
And what was your role in bringing basketball back to Vancouver?
Well, I mean, I've got the league, and we found Curtis. Curtis had played for the Volcanoes at one time, and strongly encouraged him to bring it here because I thought it would be a big deal in Vancouver versus other larger markets that it may not be as important to. So this is actually a great target market for our demographics, what we look for.
What are your expectations for how the team is going to perform, you know, as an entity that's trying to succeed? And then what's like best case scenario?
Well, both. Is really probably the best case scenario is that we become a community asset, that we're called upon to be there for the kids when they need us and even when they don't. So we want to do free camps and clinics. We want to be visible, recognizable, so we can have an impact. Because you know, the celebrity that pro athletes carry is sometimes more powerful than a parent or even a teacher, because you turn them out.
Oh, it's good to see you, brother.
But a celebrity they'll listen to. So sometimes we can encourage them and teach them how to dream and feel good about themselves and decisions they may or may not make and help them to have a better life. And if we do that, that value we add to the community earns us the right to have fans, earns us the right to have sponsors and support. So we're unique because our vision is first to impact the community, and we'll let our play stand for itself. The level's going to be fine. They'll like that. They'll love the dancers. They'll love everything we do. But that's pro sport. We want to be different and have a greater purpose for what we do.
So Vancouver is what number team in the league now?
But this is about our 47th or 48th team.
Really, that's a lot of teams.
Yeah, we have 29 currently playing, and we have about 17 on the shelf ready for next year right now.
That's a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And that's what's the geographic region?
Well, we've got Vancouver to Sarasota to Boston to San Diego and all points in between.
Now, my mother's in Sarasota, so I might have to go see a game there.
They'd love that. I was just there last week.
I had a conversation with the Vancouver team market owner and president, who was happy to discuss why he chose to put the team in Vancouver, Washington.
Yes, my name is Curtis Hill, and I'm president of the Vancouver Volcanoes professional basketball team.
What led to there being a basketball team in Vancouver?
Man, well, I used to play for the Vancouver Volcanoes back in the IBL, the International Basketball League. And, I used to be a player back in 2006, and I just remember just the community stuff, just being a part of the community and the kids. It was just like real family-based oriented, and you know, the city of Vancouver is just beautiful, and I'm just glad to bring the excitement back of the team. It was like bigger than basketball.
Did you think of any other place you might put the team?
We thought about Hillsboro. They came to like a close second, but just because I lived the volcano experience, you know, it was just a no-brainer to bring it here. So that's what made us bring it here.
So there were a couple of good options, but Vancouver was the best option.
Though. Yes. Oh, definitely. It was a no-brainer to bring the team back. And the community, they're excited about bringing the team back. They opening us with, you know, they're welcoming us with open arms back into the community. And it's just great to be a part of.
The one thing that's really similar to the NBA is the players love the game.
Yes, definitely. And, like I said, this is pro basketball. Like players do get paid, so this is like Pro B. So you have like the NBA, and then you have the G League, and then you have the TBL. It's like right there, right by the own G League.
Great.
Also in attendance was team market owner and GM for the new Salem team, who was preparing for his own press conference the next day.
My name is Jason Conrad, and I am the co-owner and GM of the Salem Capitals, which will be the affiliate of the TBL in the Salem area.
Are you hoping for a rivalry with Vancouver?
Oh, absolutely. And it's fun for me because me and Kurt are really good friends off the court, so to be able to have that head-to-head battle on the court will be really fun.
What are some of the things that are signs of success that you've had for your team in Salem?
Well, we're still in the building stages just like Vancouver, but we've been very involved in the community. We had a big community event last night that went over really well, and we've just been meeting the right people in the right order and getting everything situated for this upcoming 2022 season.
Are you also a player?
No, I will not be playing this season.
But you are tall enough to play.
Yes, I played overseas for 10 years.
Where did you play?
I played in 9 different countries, all over Europe, China, Australia, Taiwan, Canada. So,
is there something from your international experience that you bring back to Salem?
Oh, absolutely, especially for these younger guys that are going to be coming in. Just the culture and etiquette behind being a professional and being away from home, because a lot of these guys, first time away from home or out of the country or out of the state, coming out of college. So first paying gig where they have to act in a different and more responsible manner than they're probably used to. So yeah.
I'm Stephen Glickman for KXRW FM 99.9. And you've been listening to interviews from the Vancouver Volcanoes press conference on June 24th. We'll be back with more interviews after a short break.
Relay for Life of Clark County has a party in the parking lot event coming up on July 17th, 5 to 9:30 p.m. The only race happening at this event is a race for the cure. So join us as we celebrate, remember, and fight back together. Event will be held at the Upper Vancouver Mall parking lot. There will be a tailgate party first, then a survivor stroll, and then a luminaria on the lawn. The Relay for Life music playlist during the event will be streaming on KXRW 99.9 FM or online at kxrw.fm. More details on Relay for Life Clark County's Facebook event page.
Programming like this is brought to you through the generous support of our founding sponsors at ADCO, Commercial Printing and Graphics, Clark County's local print shop since 1993. ADCO features stationery, posters, flyers, tickets, business cards, stickers, catalogs, and much more. Print on anything and mail anywhere. Learn more at adco1.com. That's adco1.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Stephen Glickman for KXRW 99.9 FM, and today you've been listening to interviews from the Vancouver Volcanoes debut press conference on June 24th. We've heard from the league president and the Vancouver and Salem market owners. Now we'll hear from the Volcanoes team GM and coach Jeff Perrault, who embraces the chance to shape the team and the players.
My name is Jeff Perrault.
And your role is?
The general manager and head coach of the Vancouver Volcanoes.
So you're, as a general manager, you're helping shape the team. What are you looking for players?
You know, I think the first thing I'm looking for is character. You know, I think I can teach him the game, and I can teach him all these moves and strategy, but, you know, it's hard to teach character. And so I think for me, it's I want good guys to be around. We're around each other. We're traveling. We're with each other a lot. So it's your second family. So, you know, I want to be around people that I enjoy being around and that are really positive. You know, that's the first thing I'm looking for. Of course, we need talent. But, you know, everyone can dribble. Everyone can shoot. And everyone can pass, you know. So what are the intangibles that you bring to the table that, you know, that's something a little different? So it's really about the intangibles and character.
Okay, so I got to ask you the sports question. Are you a coach that leads with defense or offense?
I believe in, as far as leading, I think you have to play both ends of the floor equally correct and equally hard. I don't think you favor one or the other. I think one feeds into the other. I think defense can feed into offense, but sometimes good offense can help your defense out too, right? You're making baskets, they take the ball out of bounds, so it slows you up, gives you an opportunity to get back. So I think you need to play, you have accountability on both ends of the floor, for me personally.
What do you want people to get in their heads when they hear Vancouver Volcanoes? What's the first impression you want to make on people, on, you know, in the community, fans, etc.?
Effort, energy, positivity, character. I mean, that's it, right there. That's what I want people to think of when they think of us, you know. And I want to create that competitive experience. We're going to be competitive, but I want to also have a fun experience. You know, having fun is a big key in life, and I think we don't take those words lightly. And if you think about the word fundamentals, the first three letters are F-U-N, right? So let's have some fun.
All right, thanks for your time.
Yep.
I felt fortunate to talk to one of the men who will be playing for the team.
Justin Wolfert.
And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And now you're going to be on the Vancouver Volcanoes.
Yes, sir. I'll be headed to Rosarito, Mexico as of July 16th, and I'll be there until December when the season ends. And I'll pretty much be making my way back here to the Volcanoes, and their season will be starting around March. So.
And how old are you?
I'm only 23 years old.
I have a son who's 23 years old.
Yes,
so you're like
sir.
A son to me.
Yes, sir. Man, I'm the young one. I'm the youngest around, man. For sure. So I get that a lot out here.
So you're wearing a shirt that has Edvard Munch's The Scream on it.
Yes, sir.
And where'd you come by that shirt?
This shirt I actually got at Nordstrom. This actually was like a painting I painted in high school. Like every like art class I had, like if we had to draw a portrait or anything, like this is the go-to for me. Like I love this post, man.
So do you like to go to museums?
Yes. I tend to go to museums here and there. I haven't been in a while out here. I've never been to a museum out here yet. I've only been out here a year, but in Milwaukee, man, I'm always at the museums. And if I tour around like Texas or doing the trips, that's definitely in the like list to do things, for sure.
Do you find that art helps you with your game?
Ah, man, it's pretty much, my family always, like, draw and pretty much paint and are pretty much artistic, so it's pretty much just peaceful. Like, I can't draw as good, but, I mean, if I need to get some stress off, I mean, I could just draw a little bit here and there, and pretty much it's relaxing, for sure.
What do you see yourself getting out of being in the league?
Getting out of this league, anytime I get to play in front of your camera, and get to expose my game more. It's pretty much an opportunity that everyone say they can get, so I pretty much abuse every day of it, man, and pretty much just climb the ladder.
So love of the game is a big thing, motivator.
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, it's pretty much eat, sleep, and breathe basketball, man.
You post player?
I grew up in the post. I'm a perimeter player, working out now, so pretty much mid-range onto perimeter. Pretty much all-around game, so I'll just be looking forward to being on the perimeter and all-around. I'm really a two-way player, so.
So ball handling is really important for you.
Yes, sir. Definitely. I've pretty much been expanding my game onto the perimeter, dribbling around. So it's pretty much past two off seasons I've been dribbling. So pretty much got a nice ball handle, and I can get to where I need to be on the floor. So it pretty much helped me out in the long run.
Excellent.
And finally, I talked to the mayor of Vancouver and got her thoughts on what the Vancouver Volcanoes will mean to her and the city of Vancouver.
Ann McInerney Ogle, mayor for the city of Vancouver.
What does having a basketball team in Vancouver mean to you?
Well, it's not just a basketball team. We have high school basketball teams. This is a pro. These are paid players who very much want to be involved in the community, be a part of the community, and be the big brothers to others in the community to share their love of their sport, but also help all of us learn learn to get up over some of those obstacles and hurdles that these young men have gone through in their lives. I know they probably started off in middle school, high school, wanting to go to the very top. They're not up at the very top, but we're going to love them anyway, and they're going to be ours. They're going to be our boys right here in Vancouver.
Hopefully, the Vancouver Volcanoes will succeed on and off the court, and the Basketball League will reach its goals. This is Stephen Glickman for KXRW 99.9 FM, and after a short break, I'll be back to share some of my conversation with Corey Hinton about the Passamaquoddy Tribe, Pine Island, and more.
Stunner Boutique is a locally black-owned business presenting their first Essence and Vintage Fashion Show on Sunday, August 1st. Doors open at 4 p.m. In addition to the fashion show, they will have an after-party with a special guest performance, music, laughs, and drinks. This is a 21 and over event held at the VMAC Dance Studio at 116 Southeast Jamhill Street in Portland. Ticket info and more details at Stunner Boutique's Facebook or Instagram pages. And Stunner is spelled S-T-U-N-N-H-E-R. Big thank you to Craft Cannabis, formerly known as New Vansterdam, for supporting our radio community. Craft Cannabis now has two locations here in Vancouver. Both locations offer online ordering and curbside pickup. The Mill Plain location has an express window that serves as a contactless option to pick up your cannabis products. The newest shop is located on Andreessen Road, off Patton Parkway, next to the Home Depot, across from Costco. Both locations are open daily, 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. More information available at craftcannabis.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Stephen Glickman for KXRW 99.9 FM, and today I'm playing some of my conversation with Corey Hinton, a Passamaquoddy citizen from the community of Pleasant Point and the head of the Tribal Nations Group at Drummond Woodsum, a law firm in Portland, Maine. In his legal practice, Corey serves as outside legal counsel to the Passamaquoddy tribe and to tribal nations around Turtle Island. What I've been asking people I've talked to is, what do you think is the biggest issue that you feel either affects you as a tribal member or your tribe or just Native Americans or indigenous populations? Like, what do you think is, what stands out in your mind? It's like a really big issue right now.
It's a really hard issue to sort of narrow down to one factor, one thing. But to me, it's like a macro factor, and it's the intergenerational effect of colonization and the results of colonization and attempted genocide through assimilation resulted in reservation systems and deprivation of access to historical ways of sustaining oneself and one's community. And generations of that deprivation have resulted in severely impoverished communities that have been made to be completely dependent on the United States for funds and programs to provide even a basic level of care and services for people.
I infer that not only is it that kind of debilitating, but it's not adequate funding. It's not adequate care.
No doubt about it. I don't keep track of these sorts of statistics, but I think I've heard tribal leaders say when meeting with policymakers that just like the healthcare level, Indian country gets like 30 cents on the dollar of what it needs. So, 30% of the need is funded. And underfunding is not a unique problem. I mean, public entities, schools, governments deal with that. But a lot of the challenges for Native American tribes is that they are really in many situations exclusively dependent on federal government dollars, but without the need to raise supplemental income, which is what other entities can do. So like the city of Portland, where I live, has property taxes and charges all kinds of taxes that supplement what they receive from the state of Maine for budgetary purposes, for example, or from the federal government. We don't have those tools in our toolbox to fill, the rest of that dollar, of which we only have 30%.
Corey talked about the similarities and differences between the issues tribal members in the Northeast have faced versus tribal members in the Pacific Northwest.
You know, in the East Coast, in the Northeast, as far Northeast as I am, at least, you know, past Mequoddy, we sit on saltwater and on freshwater. Our cultures here in Maine, historically speaking, were very, very similar to the cultures that you would see in the Northwest. So we had salmon. I mean, historically we relied on salmon runs, and there are really well-kept records and village sites, you know, that talk about where the people went to fish for salmon. Well, there's no salmon anymore because they dammed all the rivers. And the way that colonization happened in the East Coast, as opposed to the West Coast, allowed the indigenous people to be kind of steamrolled sooner and through different legal mechanisms. Mm-hmm. That allowed the destruction of salmon to be just done, period. You know, the salmon were gone in Maine when, well, they're still here to some degree and they're starting to come back. But, you know, largely the salmon runs were decimated here just as you had the treaties being negotiated in the late 1800s, you know, 1860s, 1870s or so in the Northwest.
Another similarity between the Northeast and Northwest indigenous peoples is the issue of dams, which were almost exclusively built in violation of treaties between the U.S. and tribes.
I mean, it's the same. It's very, very, very similar, the experience, you know, in these eastern and western fringes of the country. I say Portland, Maine is the original Portland, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because definitely founded first by, you know, in this name, at least. But, you know, here there's a lot of, I was just listening to NPR this morning and there was discussion around, there's so many of the dam licenses here are coming up. And I don't think any of the projects in Maine are as big as they are out West.
Right.
But you still have, you know, some international waterways still have dams in them and much smaller ones too. And now the big push is for just deconstruction of the dams altogether. And I mean, that comes with a whole slew of other issues you have to deal with. But, you know, where Pine Island is, it sits in the western branch of the St. Croix River. The eastern branch of the St. Croix River is an international boundary between the U.S. and Canada. And it has dams through it in several places. And the western branch used to go right through. I mean, all of it was Passamaquoddy territory, but one of the Passamaquoddy communities is right there next to and was settled adjacent to the St. Croix River that was dammed in like 1910 or so. And it flooded, you know, thousands and thousands, millions of acres, whatever it is. Pine Island is big enough that when there became a lake around it, you know, much of it was flooded all around. That island stood up, and it's always been an island. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, the story, unfortunately, of how this land was, you know, developed, you know, by Americans. But it's the same struggle, you know, it's the same struggle.
Corey Hinton and the Passamaquoddy made national news when they bought back land on Pine Island in Maine that was theirs by right and treaty in the first place. I thought it was important for people to hear more about why.
What does the Pine Island purchase mean for the Passamaquoddy and for tribal members in the area, in your area?
It's about the return of sacred ancestral lands to the people to sort of reconnect us to lands that our ancestors always lived in and inhabited and relied upon, and just restoring our connection in a temporal way. I mean, the spiritual connection has always been there. It was just sort of like temporarily severed and like obstructed, but now we can return and be there and be whole with the land again in ways that hasn't been allowed.
After talking to Corey for about 40 minutes, I mentioned how people understood Jews returning to Israel and wondered why people struggled to see the parallels with indigenous people in North America, for example. And I found out that Corey and I had even more in common than I had imagined.
My mother is Jewish, and, you know, long lineage of Jews from Western Europe, and on the other side, Native American. And I had the opportunity when I was younger to take a birthright trip to Jerusalem, and still so mad at myself that I didn't go. I mean, I went as far as to sign up, pay the deposit, and then I ended up getting a job, and I needed work. And you know, in hindsight, I definitely should have taken that amazing life experience. But you know, the reason that so many people go on those birthright trips is to reconnect with holy places and to pray in holy places and to sit and kneel and be at peace in places where their ancestors were. And you know, it's the same concept with Pine Island. When I sat with one of the chiefs, and he was explaining the first thing that they would do when given the opportunity to return as, you know, the legal owners of Pine Island again, he said, "We're going to go dance with our ancestors." And he means that very literally. I mean, the tribe's practices when this sort of thing happens is to go and return to the land with an offering and a prayer and to perform ceremony right there. And that's the way you quite literally, you know, you are there with the ancestors in the same place. And I mean, that's it, you know, whether it's, you know, the Wailing Wall or, you know, one of those old temples in Jerusalem or surrounded by, you know, 300-year-old pine trees in the middle of an island and a lake in the middle of your territory. It's the same thing.
I love talking to Corey so much because of how well he articulated concepts about tribal rights, land restoration, and in this last clip, how possibility thinking allows positive change for everyone.
Because it's only through, you know, opening up our minds to new possibilities and parts of American history and local history that were definitely whitewashed away. It's only through like pushing back against that I think we can really sort of unwind some of these, you know, weird, bad, evil acts of history and forge stronger connections for our communities today in 2021. That's how Pine Island happened. It happened through a really critical, introspective process that the conservation and environmental groups in Maine did here that with Wabanaki people. That's what made Pine Island possible. And I'd encourage other people to go through similarly introspective processes themselves, as challenging as that may be, because to me, that's really what diversity and equity and inclusion work is really all about. So thank you.
All right, great. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
I'm Stephen Glickman with KXRW 99.9 FM, and you've been listening to my conversation with Corey Hinton. We'll be back shortly after a quick break to wrap up the show.
KXRW Radio would like to thank our newest local sponsor, Fusion CBD. Located just off of Highway 99 in Hazeldell, Fusion CBD offers a wide variety of whole plant, full spectrum, hemp-derived wellness products, from premium hemp flower to edibles, topicals, and pet products. Fusion CBD has what's right for your mind, body, and budget. That's Fusion CBD at 9102 Northeast Highway 99 in Vancouver, or at FusionCBD.com.
I'd like to thank David Magley, Curtis Hill, Jason Conrad, Jeff Peralt, Justin Walford, and Mayor Ann McInerney Ogle for talking to me about the TBL and the Vancouver volcanoes, and Corey Hinton for talking to me about Native American and Indigenous issues in general, the Passamaquoddy tribe, and his own views in particular. For KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, I'm Stephen Glickman.